or dues, I'm due, rather than devotion to Christ, and you'll become distant from God through a self-serving Christianity. Pastor, that sounds like two oxymoron words. Unfortunately, in the American church, it exists very well. If well's not a good word, it exists. Self-serving Christianity. I come for me. I do what I need. Me. Everything's gauged on what God's going to do for me. Me, 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 me. The board, the CEO is me, myself, and I. All these things going on. Let's go get into some other definitions here. Oh, really? We're going so good. Godly steward. So here's the definition. Godly stewardship is caring for what God has entrusted you. We know what the word entrust means. Entrust is it's been a gifted to you. It's been something given to you. Stewardship is the guardrails that keep us in the will of God for our lives. We're on this journey of following Christ, and it grows more and more. We're not perfect, but we're getting closer to Him and following Him. You need some guardrails, because when the storms of life come in and things don't happen well and the road gets slippery, if you don't have guardrails in your stewardship, you'll begin to drift away from some practices that were keeping you on that same road that you need to be on. Go, steward. Here we go. We ended, I think, last week on this. Just as Adam and Eve needed to tend and care for the Garden of Eden. Remember Genesis 2, we talked about that. God made this beautiful garden, and He was so detailedly oriented, because He is as a creator, and He put that in, and He's really just saying, tend and care from where you are. That's what I want you to do, and I can have a relationship with you as you're doing that. Some other parts of that is to be fruitful and multiply in the earlier Genesis 1. But tend and care is what they were told to do in the Garden of Eden. However, this is my opinion. I say opinions when I think it's an opinion. I think why they, so, I don't know if the word's easily, but how Eve and Adam ate the fruit of the knowledge of the good and evil, right, is because at some point they stopped tending and caring. They stopped stewarding. Satan didn't show up at a certain say, hey, today's the day. I'll just come at any day. He must have been watching them and knowing that the tending and caring was starting to get distracted into other things. So then they said, yes, I can be like God. I can make my own decisions on what's bad and good. And then we just watch the news every night and see how humanity has been doing. We are called, so here's now, fast forward 2026, I think we ended this way. We are called to tend and care for the kingdom coming. You and I, Adam and Evers, whatever you want to call us, we're called to tend a kingdom that is coming. That should have got one amen. We're called, these are Jesus' words, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then everything you need, I'll add to you. Don't worry about it, but seek ye first, tend and care the kingdom of God. But Pastor Chris, what do you mean? The kingdom's not here. No, the kingdom's inside you right now. And it'll come in and through you to those around you as you build kingdom. As you share the love of God to each and every person when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do that. Build kingdom in your stewardship that we're going to see too. So here's the great equation. I verbalized it last week, but just put it on paper here and here it is. The great equation, I believe, and we're going to get into devotion next week. The great biblical equation. So this is the response to humanity. If we're human beings and we want to follow, we all are human beings, sorry. If we want to follow biblical equations, here it is. Stewardship plus devotion will equal your worship. Stewardship plus devotion will equal your worship. The heart of the equation, responsibility, which is stewardship, devotion, which needs to be a relationship, or you're just having religion 101 and you're just going through the motions, devotion and relationship, and then glorify. Everything has to be the common denominator under the fear of the Lord. There's a lot there. You see, but we're prepping to the eternity of end times, that string in a sense, because the fight, and we talked about this, the fight, the war, from the book of Daniel into the end times of Revelations, is all about, through the symbols of things and everything out, at the end, who are you worshiping? The enemy wants you to worship systems that are in place. The enemy wants you to worship you, that you're the most important thing in the room. The enemy wants you to worship things other than the living God. And at the end of days, with currencies, technology, and everything's coming together, the 666, the beast, all those, some of those are symbolic, we won't get into that, but maybe later. It's all coming down to who are you going to worship. Because if Satan has your worship, he's got everything of you. And you won't be in the world of what you're not worshiping God. And the table's already been set. We've been talking about this, and I'm not going to get into detail. Technology's growing and growing and growing. I yelled at you for social media because I was yelling at myself last week. You know, let's not live on this. Be careful. It brings control, we think, better. It brings us better connected, we think, better. But there's a lot of other things that we can get lost in and lose our identity from Christ in. Be very careful. Don't leave social media, I'm not saying that. But just be careful. You're digesting things as you're going boom, 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 boom. Look what I can do. You know, things like that, which is great, that's fine. But be careful, because you're going to be into worship things. How long can you go without this? Tell me. Can you put it away? I've tried a day, it's hard. But it can be done. Technology and AI, which will be part of the end times too, of just you'll have the words and the worship of something, but you won't have the spirit of it. And that's your AI right there. So there's a lot we can go into, but what I'm trying to say is now, 2026, June 21, right? The dates of 21. What is the equation we should be living by? Your stewardship as a Christ follower and your devotion to Him, which we'll talk more about next week, will equal your worship to God. Responsibility, relationship, glorified, but you have to be under the fear of the Lord. There are many people that will do these things but have no fear of the Lord, and then they hit the news someday. Oh, that person was a pastor and he was sleeping with 15 people. I don't know. There's no fear of the Lord. They're just going through these things, the motions. Don't do what I do, but do what I preach, all these things. You have to have the fear of the Lord. So here's the world's equation. We'll move along here. The world's equation, same thing. You got to have an equation because you got time. One is ownership, because again, I'm taking owner. There's no God. And people won't say that most of the time, although an atheist. But I'm taking ownership of my life, and I'm going to be a consumption of everything I can get, money, toys, whatever, and it'll turn into idolatry in my worship at the end. The heart of the equation, self-sustaining. I don't need God. Me, myself, and I. We can figure it out. I'm only going to do what's beneficial to me and I can consume. And then I'm going to glorify what I've been consuming, basically. Whether if my life's been all about sports, that's all I know. I'm going to glorify sports sometimes more than anything else. I'm not saying don't watch sports, but where is it in the priority of the equation? And then the common denominator in this equation is fear of man, not fear of God, because I'm not even accountable to him because I don't care about him. Probably doesn't even exist. These are things that are leading us to the end of times. And Satan loves that because idolatry can be applied to many things. It just doesn't need one entity. It can be applied to anything. It can be applied to identity in itself. Or in a month that people are saying they're prideful. I love you, I see you, and God can transform you through His love. But you can't, these are all other identities, idolatry. You've got to be careful. God loves you and sees you. Let's talk about, get into some scripture before I get into more trouble. We are both God's workers, and this is again, this is God. God, we didn't create ourselves. We are both God's workers and God, in God's fields. You are God's building because God's grace to me. I have laid the foundation. This is Paul talking. An expert builder. Now others are building on it, the work of the ministry. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation. No one. Who does that cover? Everybody. No human being can lay any foundation other than the one we have already, and that is Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's just temporary things. What's the good illustration? You're building sandcastles before a tide. You know, you can't do anything without Christ. Let's get into some more scripture about we can't do anything without Christ in this stewardship. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from you, we can do nothing. The sooner we figure that out, the better healthy life can be. John 15, Jesus was saying that. You didn't choose me. I accepted the beautiful invitation of Jesus. No. I understand what they're saying, but you didn't choose, Jesus say that. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. I appointed you to have great church services. Maybe that's a different version. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. My name. Another one. Galatians. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. Many people are mocking him because they're not honoring, or even their idolatry is in different areas. You will always harvest what you plant. Reap what you sow. I think all of us can understand that, right? That's a law, a principle you can't get away. I've seen some, I know we know this, but I mean, it's getting bad out there. Yeah, I'm not prepping you up. I'm not the butcher in the shop trying to talk to a vegan that you need to eat meat, but it's getting bad out there. I saw some festivals in Europe and then one in California where they erected this massive idol that they're all worshiping and walking around. Different idols. That's idolatry. It's what the Israelites did when Moses was trying to represent them up the mountain. This is what's coming to. Here we go. Living as good stewards leads to a lifestyle of care for us, because it helps us. We're stewards of things. But also to giving and tending to the people and things around us. Stewardship isn't an egocentrical thing. Look at him. I didn't name him, but he's a farmer. That's what he does. And this scripture is so key about farming. We know it. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 7. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Seems simple. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He goes on. And God will generously provide all you need. New Testament. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's really the God design of things. To prioritize this is the definition from Webster Dictionary, Merriam. To prioritize is to list or rate projects, goals, etc., in order of importance. If I'm in a burning building and I see one way out and it's clear, but I'm busy with my homework, what am I going to prioritize? Getting out of the building, I hope. That's prioritizing. What is important now? And it's a shallow example, but we can get this from this and every, we can get distracted very easily. It's a whole other message of distraction. What are you prioritizing? The priority of stewardship carries the agenda that God is first, and I trust him. And I trust him. These are just a few areas I wanted to show. One, first in my time. We'll talk about more tomorrow, next Sunday, but your devotion. I mean, It should be one of the first fruits of your time, whether you're sitting and opening the Bible or whatever you're doing, but at least an acknowledgement. Holy Spirit, thank you that I am here today. God, Father, Abba, Father, thank you that you continue to provide for my life. Those are first fruits of prayer and devotion before I'm getting coffee sometimes or picking up this thing to see what Sally Sue did the night before. My first fruits are on my time. It's going to get a little choppy. First fruit in my time. What about showing up to church on time? I'm late sometimes, but it's not my pattern. Life happens. But how about knowing that 9:30 is probably the time that God expects me to be amongst the community of saints in this room? First in my speech. I'm working on this one. I'm stewarding my mouth. First in my speech. I'm thankfulness and I care. Just a few things with people around you. Are you stewarding? What would Jesus say in that when you're talking to other people? Do you have a bent that everything, that the sky is falling and, you know, it's just bad? And so your tone every time is like, so a coworker is saying, you know, oh, I can't believe that happened. Which you got to be careful when you join into I can't believe either. But that's a separate thing. I can't believe, you know, the war's not over in Iraq. Or, yeah, Iran, excuse me. And then you're like, yeah, oh, it's ridiculous. Have you seen the gas prices? And I have. It's bad. But you get into the same dialogue and you're not lifting up Christ. And I'm not saying you start being oversaved and start quoting scripture that they don't understand. But like, yes, isn't it great that God has everything in the palm of his hand? That he sees you in me and he does love you whether you know. Well, I'm an atheist. Well, he still loves you. I use that all the time. He still loves you. But what's the first in my speech of thankfulness and care? Second, first in finances, budget, tithes, and offering. Many young families, you need a budget. It's good stewardship. Tithes, you need to be doing that. Offerings are things that you just give free will offering. It may not even be finances. It may be goods of something. Things that you're giving to people or things like that. Then the last, first through Christ's lens in my relationship. This is hard. Can I give you, for me it is. I don't know about you. So every relationship I have, I need to see through the lens of Christ. What does he see about that daughter or that son of the Most High God? When he might be making me mad. Or might be disappointing. Might have stabbed me in the back. What am I seeing? Am I seeing through Christ's lens that relationship? Because I'm seeing through Christ's lens, you see the eternal situation, not the temporary situation. We just showed that rope. Eternity's a long time. We know that. Which should we talk about today? And you're acting like I'm going to give a vote. We could go anywhere with these, but we're going to go here today. So I say, waters are getting a little choppy. We're following Christ. The Hebrew word maser means tithe. Everybody said hallelujah. It's revelational. Originated from tenth, setting aside a portion of increase for a sacred purpose. So the Hebrew word, maser. So we're going to talk about tithing, guys. Pull the seatbelt off if you need to leave. God does not need money, but he wants you to trust him with it. Plain and simple. It's hard for some. When you do, he can bring wholeness to your life. The preacher that sits at the television table and says, if you give me $100, God will give you $1,000 back by tomorrow. Now, wholeness to life. When I give, my life becomes whole because it's not just, if I give $10, I expect $100. Most of the out of context things in this, and I go down these lanes, we'll get lost. not lost, but I just don't want to go down there yet. When you're trusting God, He's going to provide in every area of your life. Finances, health, peace of mind, all these areas. Not give me money so you get more money. If God does that, then opens the skies and the windows, that's fine. But we can't manipulate, that's a preacher manipulation tactic. Isn't it interesting, and I did this on purpose, rare things that I do on purpose. This is a picture of your money. Some of you may have it, and don't worry, if you give it right now to me, but there's money here. And what is the one sacred thing that this United States still is honoring? And I believe there's a principle of prosperity on this. In God we trust is on every bill. When that comes off, watch out. Because the ordainment of doing that knew that the Americas would know how, and we're going to talk about Mammon or whatever, but the powers that be knew that if we didn't have this on and we knew we were being blessed as a nation, we would forget that it's God we need to trust in those powerful areas of our finances. So we pray it stays on. Let's go through some scriptures, some Old Testament scenes. Jacob's prayer on his journey. We know Jacob was out coming back to his father's house. All that God has given me, I will return to you a tenth. Again, we're still on the trail of tithe here. Here it is, Genesis 28. If I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and his memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worship. There's the word worship. To worship God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything He gives me. Moses spoke to the Israelites. We just quoted him earlier in the baby dedication. Moses spoke to the Israelites about how to live to honor God. Deuteronomy 14. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. So we're getting a little clear that there's a percentage. All right, let's get into this deeper water. Tithing becomes a rhythm as your finances grow. Just what we do to honor God. We do not tithe, this is what I was saying a little bit earlier, we do not tithe to buy our way into heaven. If you choose not to tithe and you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not God, but I don't think you're not going to see His face when you pass. However, the life you live now until you see His face could be more enriching. So we do not tithe to buy our way into heaven, secure a miracle, like I said, on the TV evangelist, or surrender to pressure. It is not a transaction or investment. In reality, stewardship practiced in this area means we are simply, but hard at times, I understand, but we are simply returning to God what He asks of us. It's not really even giving. It's returning. A few amens. When you tithe, God starts to, this is so powerful. This is what is, I'm not saying it's the sheep and the goat scenario, but it's a night and day when the end things begin to start coming to fruition. When you tithe, God starts to trust you in many areas. Imagine that. We preach a lot, you need to trust God for your miracle and all this, and that's true. But see, many of the men of faith, your Davids, your Abrahams, your Moseses, even the apostles, God was beginning to trust them. That's a whole other level. But that's where we can be, Faith Christian Center. God starts to trust you in many other areas, not because of your perfection, but because of your trusting in Him. This trust leads to His blessing showing up in every part of your life, like I said earlier, every part. When we pray with our tithes and our offerings, Lord, don't just satisfy our wallet, but satisfy my soul, satisfy my body, or Jehovah Jireh, all these things. Trust leads to His blessing in every part of life. Let's get back to Deuteronomy. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship. This is Moses again to the Israelites. The place the Lord your God chose for His name to be honored. And eat it there in His presence. This applies to your tithe of grain, new wine, olive oil, the firstborn male of your flock of herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear. We said that was a common denominator earlier. To fear the Lord your God. That's not a fear like, oh, he's up there in the clouds and he's got this rod that just does bad things when we don't obey. It's fears like, personally, and I think we can get related, I can't imagine having my life without him. That's a fear to begin with. I need him. He's my creator. He's the designer. He knows me more than I know myself at some point. But the fear of the Lord is your will be done, not my will. But this is where blessing is back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, if you just did what I said, you'd be living in paradise. When you give God the first tenth of increase, he can bless. This is key. It's an easy math equation. He can bless the remaining 90%. If you carry an ownership attitude and money towards the 100%, you are left to manage it through your own understanding. It's true. So if I'm giving my 10th, God will bless the 90 more than I could ever bless my 100 that I'm dealing with. And I can go around this room. This is not a sales pitch. How many people in that area have done that? And like, this says this, but God has provided every time. Because he's a better manager of all this. Tithing is not just an Old Testament practice. That's the new thing a lot of people say, I think. Or maybe it's an old one. But even in the New Testament, Jesus mentions tithing. Here we go. Matthew. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees about some things, and he brings up tithing. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law? This is Jesus saying this, and you Pharisees. Hypocrites, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden, but you ignore more important aspects of the law, injustice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe. Jesus said this. Yes, but do not neglect the more important things as well. So these Pharisees were saying, I'm doing this, I'm tithing, but they would ignore all the other things of the wholeness of the body of Christ and what God's calling them to do. But Jesus is even saying, tithe. This is a spiritual thing. So if you don't tithe right now, I pray the Holy Spirit's speaking to you in a sense, not to get you to tithe, but is speaking to you to see the truth in something. Because we're about truth right now, not me convincing you. But this is a spiritual thing that will happen. Tithing breaks fears and builds your faith in God. If we live in ownership instead of stewardship in this area, we will hold on to things to have the idolization of security over trust in God to provide in every area of our life. Security. Yeah, but Pastor, I need my security. I need this. And yes, you have to be stewards and God will bless you. And you need to know what we said, budgeting and investing in the sense of 401ks. And these things are good. They help security. But in the ultimate part, this is all going away at some point. Can't load in your casket your 401k. Can't load all these things in. Again, they can help your family. But there's a false sense of security. We're going to get into that more. Over the trust in God to provide. We know this one. We'll yell it out before we pray sometimes. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. We believe the temple is the church you're at. If you do, says the Lord of the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. That is a good problem. Put me to the test. He does not. The Lord God, the creator of the universe who designed you and I, does not say that much in the Bible about this. He is very clear when it has to do with the tithe. Put me to the test. Do it. I'm waiting to prove of what my word is and how true it is and how I can provide in all areas of your life. Tithing. Why should we be tithing? It helps build kingdom. Back to the stewardship that we're called to build kingdom. It brings increase into a greater eternal purpose. a greater eternal purpose. You're not putting on a tool belt. I've said this before, and you got your hammer, and I'm not allowed to have a tool belt, but if you did, you know, have a hammer and a measuring thing and the doohickeys and all this thing, you're not going out to build kingdom these walls. And again, it's already in you to build kingdom to those around you, because building kingdom is bringing more people into the kingdom. Into the kingdom. And how can we do that? With our mouth, with our stewardship, giving. Yes, it goes to Faith Christian Center. If you're giving into a church, it helps provide these light bulbs to stay on. It helps pastoral teams and a few other administrator teams have a salary. And our mission trips to Disney World. Right, Pastor Mike? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, guys. I go my own dime. Don't worry. But and then we tithe as a church. FCC tithes what we get in. So do the math. Can I throw some numbers? We're in again. Right now, I think we're projected maybe $1.2 million for the year. So do the math on what we're tithing. Do the math. Because God is first. God has provided all this. So we as a church build kingdom through our giving as well too. Never mind the ministries that go beyond these four walls to do in our community and many other things. You're helping build kingdom. What we're doing right now, being on air, there may be somebody online that just might have fumbled into this station. Preacher wants money. That's fine. But they're hearing the word of God. They're hearing the word of God. Tithing helps build kingdom. It brings increase into a greater eternal purpose. And a reminder that white string was the eternity of things. All right, this is key, because this is really the stronghold. I know it was for me many years ago. Finally, when we tithe, we shatter the grip of mammon. Mammon, not the woolly mammoth. Mammon. Mammon. What's that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. An Aramaic word for wealth and its seductive pull. Wealth and its seductive pull. If you're rich and you have many houses, God bless you. That's not evil. If you're stewarding that, that's not evil. But there is a spiritual component that this mammon can bring of wealth and its seductive pull that tries to dethrone God as the true source of abundance. This cuts in a good way, though. The spirit breeds pride and arrogance. I'm not prideful and arrogant. Pushing God aside. It whispers that happiness lies in having more money and that every problem can be solved with money or wealth. And it puts the altar and idolization of money in front of God. Again, if you're rich and that's fine. But where's your heart? What are you idolizing? Because this mammoth is sold in our culture daily. It still exists. It wasn't just with the Hebrews and the Israelites. It's a spiritual, demonic thing that says, I need everything, and it's only going to come through getting wealth and managing the wealth. And it pushes God aside if that's an attitude. Instead of saying, look what God has blessed me with, a great business, a great fortune, a great this and this, and that there's nothing between God and me, not even my wealth. You have a rich person say that, then he's truly stewarding and honoring God. But we can get seductive to this. It gets very, very seductive. Amen, hallelujah. Nobody's left yet. Wow, okay. All right, Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Don't be misled, and we're landing the plane soon. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God, what we said earlier. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live, and this is stewardship of everything. What you say is what you get. So I was petty the other day saying, I've tried, so let's talk about stewardship of what I say, first fruits of what I say. Many of us, when somebody says, the Celtics didn't get into the championship, I can't believe that. I can, but I mean, you got to be careful saying I can't believe that a lot. Because then when it comes to spiritual principles in your faith and trust in the Christ Jesus, you've said a lot of I can't believes already. So it's a little hard. They're not splitting hairs. But you've got to be careful what lives and satisfy your own sinful nature. Okay, let me go back. You will always harvest what you plant in your mouth, in your finances, in your time, your stewardship. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest. Their great reward is decay and death from the sinful nature. We talked about this in Romans 8 a few weeks ago. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So I'll just be coy for a minute because I need to process things too. So let's just say tithing is only Old Testament and not under the New Covenant, even though we just said Jesus did say that before he went to the cross. I know for me, if I need guardrails in my life, I know stewardship is a principle I need to be doing. As my stewardship, I still need guardrails. And 10% for me, I'm just saying if it wasn't true. Let's just, because people have the gaslit argument there. And 10% keeps me in the lane for a consistent return to God. And God's saying, I'm only asking for 10. For me, I know if I didn't have a number, I'd be wiffle-waffy and like, okay, well, this is what I think I should give. This is what I can give. Again, we're going back to the first fruits of things. Tithe and then everything else. Tithe and everything else. It's not everything else and what's left. I do a tithe. And this is the supernatural principle that comes into your manifestation eyes that are so surprised. It's like, wait a minute, I had that, which was not enough of what I got, but I still did that. And somehow I still have money. And my kids love me, right? Do they still love us? Yeah. All this is going on because I put God first. Is it easy? No, it's a journey. But you'll never get there until you step out. You have to do the first step. Say, God, I'm going to prove to me I'm going to begin to tithe. And in any other steward areas. So the priority of stewardship carries the agenda that God is first and I will trust Him. Like I said, in my time, devotion in the morning, we'll get into that next week. First in my speech, we talked about that, being thankful, caring about others and not ridiculing other people. The cancer of complaining, careful about that, that's a whole other message. Got to be careful. That's cancer. That's if my first fruit is always complaining, well, then, yeah, your life's going to be full of one big complaint. Like you're stuck at the DMV forever. First in money, budget, tithes, and offering. Offerings is whatever. It can be finances. It can be a sofa that somebody needs. It's just a free will offering that the Holy Spirit says, you know what? I need that needs to be done. You know, and He tests you on it or He wants you to obey Him on that. First through the lens of Christ and my relationship. Guys, all right? Let's jump into this. So therefore there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ, Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We went through the whole chapter. But my point is, if you're not tithing, and as I've been talking, you're going like this, which I don't blame you. I mean, if it's the first time you're hearing things, that's not God does not bring condemnation. He does bring judgment, giving you the opportunity to say, oh yeah, I do need to tithe, or I do need to whatever in the stewardship series. I need to do better at that. Maybe my speech is off. Maybe I don't listen well. You know, what is it? So don't get lost in the condemnation. That's the enemy. That's a con. Preacher wants your money. I was watching somebody who sent me a YouTube recently, so like I said, I watch YouTube occasionally. When it's sent to me, and the lady was deconstructing her faith and deconstructing the church, and she had me at hello right away when she said, I have found out what is good for me. And my own, how'd she word like, I'm finally finding my own self. So she's already taken the equation that won't lead to a great answer. She's taken self-sustainment of herself. It's me now. It's not anything else. And then she's going to add it to idolatry and things of making me better. You're pushing God out of the equation. It's not going to work. And I'm not saying there's not church hurt. There's plenty of that. But she was like, the first equation was, I'm getting back to Eden. She didn't say this. And saying, God, I know what's good and bad for me. And when anybody does that, that's where we are now, pretty much as a society, then there's where you'll be. Back to this great equation, the biblical equation, stewardship, so important in our life. Don't make it legalism, but stewardship. Then devotion, we'll talk about that next week, and it will equal you and set you up in the worship for Almighty God. And when the time does come, whether you take your last breath or Christ returns, that you are secure in your worship because you've been good in your stewardship and your devotion. Responsibility is stewardship. Devotion is relationship. And it turns to glorifying that, all under the fear of the Lord. Stewardship, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. Why don't we stand? I had cleared some chairs in here for people to run around today, but we love you. We love you. Getting back to the part of being a part of the body of Christ. And being a part is obviously coming into church because it's so well needed. And in the last days, in Ephesians, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. It's so important. We do need each other at the long end of everything. And God's provided everything He needs already. But we just need to be stewards of whatever that is. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just so thankful that You've given us the opportunity to steward things. Holy Spirit, daily, remind us that we owe nothing. Holy Spirit, also remind us that You love us so very much, Jesus, that if we're not doing something in stewardship, Your Holy Spirit corrects us in love and leads us. Lord, if we stop doing something in stewardship, know that we can be picked back up and move forward with no condemnation. Lord, I just pray as the days are getting shorter and shorter, and knowing that You are coming sooner and sooner, Jesus, let there be an urgency, not just in our minds that we can agree to it, but let that be in our hearts. So we do Your will and we become more like You, Jesus. Lord, we know everything we need is in that, not other things, not new theories, but You, Jesus, are the answer to all of this. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you should do that soon.
You're here today. We are so glad that you're visiting us on this beautiful Father's Day. Hope you're going to have great plans for the fathers. And just glad to be here. My name's Rick, and this is my good friend Sam. He's one of the prayer warriors of the church. And the message today was awesome on stewardship. So such a free thing to know that we're stewards of things, and the things don't hold us, but we are able to do the things that God wants us to do through them. And Sam has some really good insights in what it was today's message. So Sam, go right ahead.
Yeah, from what I gather, the pastor talked about our life being an eternity that keeps on going as long as we have Christ with us. He talks about stewardship, which is necessary for following Christ. That being more like Him is a blessing once it is anchored. Stewardship becomes a blessing if it is anchored in Christ, because, right. Like for instance, you are giving the responsibility to stand up there and sing. If your singing is meant to edify yourself, that's not a complete stewardship of Christ's definition. Christ's definition of stewardship is glorification. Whatever he gives you to do that will glorify him. That is our mission in the field. So, if we put our, we say our money, put your money where Christ will bless it. You give 10%. Exactly. The Bible has said we should give 10% of our earning. The 90% there, God will bless it to edify himself, right, and give glorification, exactly, to that which he has destined us to do.
Very good point.
We are called to the kingdom come because God has told us that. We should seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his and its righteousness. And every other thing around it will be added unto us. So, the spiritual definition, the equation that Pastor said up there, put out there, that really touched me, right, was stewardship,
yes,
plus devotion,
exactly,
is equal to our worship.
Exactly.
So if we are worshiping God, we should worship him in sincerity,
mm-hmm,
knowing that he,
yes,
will be in it, and it is meant to edify and glorify, mm-hmm, his world.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. But thank you so much, Sam, for all that. And on today, thank you for being here. Remember that you can come on Wednesday at 7:30. We have a great service at that time. And at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, I know you know that because you're here today. And on the bottom of the screen, there's a number. If you have any questions or anything that you want, text it and we'll gladly get back to you. And just have a great day today. We appreciate you being here, and God bless you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.